Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 194 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Cara Cilento's and Gail Gamble's book, Out of Darkness, Into the Light, Life Lessons from the Paranormal. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from a chapter titled Mid-Orange Correctional Facility, and this is what Gail and Cara have written. When you step into the former Mid-Orange Correctional Facility, the silence is the first thing that grips you. It's the sort of silence that feels dense, heavy, almost alive with its own whispers. Located in Warwick, New York, Mid-O was once a bustling prison, where guards, inmates, and the occasional stray cat roamed its cold corridors. Today, it stands as a shell of its former self, holding the echoes of its inhabitants' lives, and possibly their unrestful spirits. Mid-O closed in 2011, but its reputation for paranormal disturbances lives on, drawing in investigators like us with a mix of trepidation and excitement. Our team arrived late in the afternoon, and as we crossed the threshold, the weight of the facility's past settled on our shoulders. We were greeted by that haunting silence, but little did we know how much that silence would say as the night wore on. Our first stop was Dormitory A3, which is rumoured to be haunted by two spirits, Charles McBride and another individual known only as Richard. According to the stories, McBride was a troubled young man who, during Mid-O's more violent era, took his own life. But an unsettling detail lingered about his death. McBride's autopsy had shown signs of trauma, like a slap mark on his face, unexplained bruises. Did he truly take his life, or was there something darker at play? As we entered Dormitory A3, the temperature seemed to drop, though the thermostat held steady. The air felt thick, as if we were wading through an invisible fog. We each found a quiet corner to sit, setting up our equipment and letting the natural ambience settle. When investigating spaces like these, I found that rushing in often stirs up little more than dust. Patience is key, letting the silence fill the room before making our own mark. In the stillness, we began to hear the unmistakable sounds of faint footsteps pacing the corridors outside the dormitory. Several of us exchanged glances. No one else was supposed to be here with us, and yet the sound grew louder, as if someone or something was slowly approaching. I held my breath, straining to hear, and that's when it happened. A series of loud, echoing bangs reverberated through the room. "Did you hear that?" one of my teammates whispered, wide-eyed. Everyone nodded. The noises weren't random, they sounded deliberate, as if trying to get our attention. We began recording, hoping to catch any electronic voice phenomena, or EVPs. When we played back the recording, a soft, gravelly voice murmured, "Leave." The voice was unmistakably angry. Was this McBride trying to drive us out? Or perhaps the other figure, Richard, whose story remained a mystery? We attempted to communicate, asking questions into the dark. Our usual EVP responses are faint at best, but this time the replies came through clearer. Each question was met with a knock, a loud bang, or an eerie whisper. Dormitory A3, with its empty beds and peeling walls, felt anything but empty. The subtle disturbances, the footsteps, the knocks, the cold spots spoke volumes. And the more we listened, the more we began to understand that in these haunted spaces, silence often says more than any voice ever could. Next, we made our way to the third floor of the administrative and school building, once home to chapels and worship spaces. Here, shadowy figures had been reported slipping between rooms, always lingering at the edges of sight, like sentries guarding secrets. The floor had been a place of prayer and reflection, yet now it felt consumed by unease. We climbed the stairs, our footsteps muffled on the worn concrete. As we set foot on the third floor, a cold draft swept past, though no windows were open. Shadows flickered along the walls, darting out of sight just as our eyes focused on them. Was it a trick of the light, or something else? Our group spread out, each of us moving toward different sections of the floor, hoping to draw out whatever lurked there. The quiet was eerie, broken only by the occasional shuffling of feet or creak of the building settling. But then, an unexpected sound cut through the silence. There was a rustling, as if someone were rifling through papers in a nearby room. Only there were no papers, no furniture even, just empty rooms and shadows. As we ventured deeper, the phasma box, a device used to pick up potential spirit voices, suddenly crackled to life. At first, the words were jumbled, unintelligible, but then they grew sharp, hostile. The device spat out insults, curses directed at us in voices that were neither welcoming nor kind. I glanced around, half expecting to see one of my team members reacting, but everyone else seemed unfazed, looking determined rather than alarmed. For me, though, hearing those aggressive words was a reminder of just how intense this place could be. Shadowy figures appeared at the periphery of my vision, watching us with a strange curiosity. Each time I turned to look, they darted back around a corner, only to reappear elsewhere. It was a game of sorts, a silent standoff where neither side spoke, yet so much was being communicated. These entities didn't want us here, that much was clear. But at the same time, they didn't seem ready to make us leave. The experience was strangely humbling, a lesson in how the dead and the living can coexist, but sometimes in uneasy silence. One of the lesser-known tales about Mid-O involves a correctional officer named Christopher Nuttall, who gained a bit of fame and notoriety for taking in stray cats from the surrounding area. Alongside several inmates, he cared for these cats, feeding them and providing them with makeshift shelters. Nuttall's compassion eventually got him fired for collaboration with inmates, though the local union later helped him regain his job. There was a soft defiance in his story, a sense that kindness doesn't always fit neatly into the rules. It's said that after the prison closed, some of the cats still lingered around the grounds, as if waiting for Nuttall's return. During our investigation, we occasionally heard faint meows echoing through the empty halls, though no animals were around. The sound would rise and fall, filling the void of silence in an oddly comforting way. It was a reminder that not all spirits are angry or violent. Some might just be searching for those who cared for them. In a place marked by violence and despair, these stray cats had once offered a moment of normalcy, a chance for inmates to nurture something small and gentle. The unspoken bond between the cats and the people who cared for them felt like a lingering echo in Mid-O, a rare moment of peace in a place marked by turmoil. As the night continued, each quiet corner of Mid-Orange spoke to us, not in words, but in presence. In the paranormal world, we often find ourselves listening for voices, asking for answers, but sometimes, what's most powerful is learning to sit with silence. It's a lesson that applies beyond ghost hunts. Silence can speak volumes, often conveying more than any EVP or shadow figure. Standing in those empty rooms, I thought about how much goes unspoken in life, the moments of tension, of quiet camaraderie, of unacknowledged emotions. Just as we learn to tune into the faint sounds and subtle shifts in temperature, there's something to be said for tuning into the quiet moments of our own lives. Often, the impact of what's unspoken is as powerful as what is voiced. Today I was reading from Cara Cilento and Gail Gamble's book, Out of Darkness, Into the Light, Life Lessons from the Paranormal. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ Our Paranormal Afterlife, or click on the button on my homepage, pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, Kindle, or audiobook. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.